He'll be the judge. Who's not going to school?
Well, here we are. Good late afternoon and almost good evening. We open our service for those who are listening all in the coastal area of Costa Rica, Panama, and now Colombia. This is about 5 p.m. in California, and I know it's 6 p.m. in your town. Let's open our worship with 255 from United States of America, the glorious city of Morgan Hill, and the best state of the Union, California. All right. Our Lord. And certainly we pray that as we close a long day in the house of God today, we may learn again from the Bible and the gorgeous message of Revelation 19, the great victorious encounter of Jesus with the beast and the remarkable victory of our Savior and the remarkable place reserved for us who believe. Thank you, Lord, as we review these things that we have in mind, but now we're going to see it written in thy word. Bless us, give us the strength to carry through. Bless those who are on the way after so many services in the church. And then, Father, bless those who are here and later on they have to travel far to their homes. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, you choose another song that will be in your heart. And in the evening, we try to bring the wonders of wonderful hymns to our memory. And the number will be, Brother Greg.
132.
132, which is in tune with the sermon tonight. If you have the outline in hand over there, if not, there is one in the back, which speaks about the great victorious work of Christ. Number 132, 132.
I see you, Lord, 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 I see
the changes that comes into our life is when Christ comes into our heart. Otherwise, it will be impossible to change. All right, another song that comes from your heart to the people. And somebody listen, Tricia. Say it again. 37. All right. What did she say? 37? Oh, 37. I thought that she was choking. You know. All right. 37. Muy bien. Muy bien, Tricia. Numbers are the most difficult thing to write in English and in Spanish because they write in different ways. All right. You study language, you know the English numbers are written from a decent standpoint. And the Spanish are written from a decent standpoint. In other words, you got to 9, and there is no more numbers. So you have to create 1, 0. And so all the numbers, names are from 0 up. In English are from 9 up. And it makes it very, very hard to remember. Number 37, how great thou art. To sing or not, in times of difficulties, will be good to remember this wonderful song, which exalts the person of Christ Jesus. And without hesitation, you can sing along in your life and reveal your trust in Him. Number 4. When yes, sir, reminding ourselves of the mighty power of God by these wonderful priests who found the truth, all right? Matthew, you sing aloud so you don't get to sleep, all right? Good. All right, number 36. He was a mighty poet, and he wrote many poetry. And his greatest work, the translation of the German Bible, that he did alone, the entire Bible, he did alone, the Luther Bible, one of the most precise Bible. And as a result of that, the Catholic Church then issued a bulk that now the Bible will be available to the people of the world. Because anyway, Luther have done the work already. Mighty work of this German fellow. All right, Señor Anthony, as he's sad, he's crying, his father and mother on the way, and he's just crying like a baby. It's okay, Anthony, they're back. Okay, tell me. 388, no doubt in my mind that he's in heaven, all right? All right. The 388 for all of you who are low category and no, only know English. You know, I'm surprised. I read the paper, I listen sometime to the television, and they're having arguments if English will be the language of the United States. And I was surprised. The only 27 states recognize English as the language of the United States. The others don't. So, if you go to Oregon, you can have Russian. If you go to Washington, Russian is this language state. You go to New Mexico, that's surprised. All the Spanish states are English. And you know, I was surprised. And the East Coast, Minnesota, German, all completely different across the United States. What's the origin, the language that a document should be presented? And if people know this, and it's in the Constitution, they can even enforce that all the ballots for elections will be done in the official language of the state, which nobody understands, German or Russian or whatever. It's just something that needs to be corrected. But our wonderful senators, Democrat senators, said, we cannot say the English is the language of the United States. We can say it's the preferred language of the United States. It means nothing, you know. It's just amazing. So you can speak Spanish. No, in California you have to speak English. And New Mexico had the English, Spanish is in Arizona. So be careful. All right, number 388. Brother Blicker, 70. That's a wonderful, holy, holy, holy. That also will match the sermon this morning. Wonderful son, a very old son, 1783, 1826, the author of the son, and just amazing. All right.
Thank you.
encourage you to take your Bible to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation that we have been engaged in the study for so long. And God's willing, on the month of June, on the second or third Sunday, I will conclude the studies on the book of Revelation by the mercy of God. And have been a year and a half studying this book, paragraph by paragraph, and now getting the whole picture on different chapters. Today is on chapter 19. And you have my notes, and we pray, and we go over the lesson on Revelation 19. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And as we prepare ourselves to open the scripture, we are able to rely upon your interpretation and your teaching. And so, Father, under the fear of the Almighty God, help us all to see every section of this chapter as the mighty victory of our Savior. Lord, teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is in my division of the books, the 11th part, and is entitled The Rejoicing in Heaven, because every action of this chapter is the joy of God in the very heavens. And first, there is a praise chorus that we would like to bring it to Bethel. Verses 1 to 6 is a praise chorus, how the people praise the Lord. And then from verses 7 to 10, you have the marriage supper in heaven. And God's willing, the next Sunday, which is in June, we tackle the rest of the chapter. Let's talk about the praise chorus in heaven. In verse 1, we have here, it will be a praise of salvation. Look at verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So the first thing that we notice in that chorus is that salvation and the praise is directed, a praise of salvation. And we're going to look into some of the words over there. Salvation belonged to God, said the verse. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Alleluia, salvation. And give you a list of things, and then said, unto the Lord, belong to God. I encourage you to look in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament in chapter 37 or in Psalm 37. And look with me, verse 39. Psalm 37 and verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. You see that word Lord in capital, that's Jehovah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Salvation always in the Old Testament belonged to God. And if you look in the New Testament in 1 Peter in chapter 2, a passage that is very familiar with you, 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, you will see that again the emphasis is on that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The word peculiar is the word elected, a elected people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's why we have always hope, because as long as people come to church or Sunday school or Bible study and they hear the word of God, the seed of the word of God is placed into their heart. And that's the only thing we can do, is placing into the hearts of people the seed of God, whether it's for doctrine or for salvation. And in due time, because salvation is of God, he will call that person into being saved, like he did to Lazarus, remember? Now, the text in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1 also tell us that glory. Not only the text is mentioning salvation, but also is mentioned glory belongs to God. And a good explanation of that is in Psalm 29 and verse 2. Now here is what the Bible says. Give unto the Lord the glory, due unto his name. Worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. And so glory belong to God. Now also honor, you have the word honor belong to God. And if you go now from Psalm 25 to Psalm 34 in verse 3, you find these words. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That would mean honor, exalting the name of God. When we sin, we do not exalt the name of God. We make a mess. All right? We make a mess of our God, and the unbelievers look into our life, and if we sin openly and publicly, they can blame even God. They look at this person is a Christian and does this and does the other. So glory, salvation belongs to God, that he is the initiator of that salvation. Glory belongs to God. When a person is saved, the work has been done by God. And honor belongs to God. We honor God in our behavior of life. And then power belongs to God. The old book of the Bible in First Chronicle, in chapter 29. If you ever want to look in a chapter of great glory, I mean great glory, you look in First Chronicle 29. If you really want to praise the Lord, that's the chapter. And in First Chronicle chapter 29, then in verse 12, look at what the Bible says. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give a strength unto all. In other words, power is in the hands of God. When people fall into tedious sins like drugs or things like that, that is very hard to get out, then don't discount the power of God. God took care of the satanic force, and that's why this verse in Revelation 19:1 is placed. God took care of the most powerful satanic force in this earth. God can take care of anyone on this earth who is injured by a sin in their life. And so powers belong to the Lord. And remember, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 2. So the choir in heaven is praising God, the chorus in heaven is praising God, because everything that we talk about, salvation, glory, honor, life, all of these belong to God. It's in the hands of God, and it's possible for all of us. No one believer can say, well, I have this sickness, or I have these habits, and so on. Psychologists say that, but no God. God, who is the author of everything, can rescue us from any situation. Then secondly, in Revelation 19, verse 2 and 3, the chorus have a praise for victory. May I read for you Revelation chapter 19, verse 2 and verse 3. And again, they said, Alleluia, and here a smoke rose up from ever and ever. let me read from verse 2. Revelation 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, that's the false prophet, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up from ever and ever. In other words, he will destroy the world system. In verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgment, for he hath judged the great whore. The only people that can judge a false church is God himself. Don't fool around. Don't criticize it. Just leave it if you are in that church. But don't say a word. Let God fall into that church. And God one day will finish with the entire product of falsehood, and he will avenge the believers according to verse 3. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. In other words, those who were of the false church will be totally consumed. God will judge them. The smoke means the fire of hell upon their life. So the chorus, praise God for salvation, praise God for victory, and also will be a praise of worship according to verse 4 in Revelation 19. So, and the 4 and 20 elders, remember at one time at the beginning we studied that could be that this is a representation of 12 of the children of Israel in the Old Testament and 12 of the apostles. And so together, the 24 doesn't mean there were only 24 people, but there were the entire community of believers in heaven, and the 4 and 20 elders, the community of Christians in heaven, and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Alleluia. Look at that. Amen. Alleluia. Be done. We are glad what happened. Alleluia. I just want to go to a psalm who referred to this, Psalm 107 and verse 32. Psalm 107 and verse 32 refers to this occasion. This is what Psalm 107 and verse 32 says. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And so in the highest ground in heaven, there will be a majestic chorus that praise God. That's why I'm jealous of Bethel Choir. See, I don't like any junk music in the choir. I don't like anything that will be no bring glory to God. Now, this morning was a hymn from the choir, but it was a hymn of praise to God for the glory. And those people who wrote the hymn, they were really struggling in life. And they wrote songs of victory in the midst of the struggle. And we need to really, really fashion ourselves in that way, that we may be able to sing in that way. The tune of the music, I care less. You can jump, you can do this or the other. But what we are saying, there has to be bringing respectful songs to God. God who honor himself. Going back to Revelation verses 5 and 6, there is a praise of God's omnipotent reign. Look at in verse 5 in Revelation 19, we read, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I hear, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Participle. I checked that in the original. It's a participle. That means he was reigning, and he is reigning, and he will continue in that position. And so I like to talk about that he reigns, God reigns. Now, Second Chronicles, I'm bringing you the old books into the present. Second Chronicles, in chapter 20, and verse 6. I want you to look into this. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heavens? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So God is in control now. God is in control now. No in the future, but now. And then he reigns to the very end. Remember the passage in Philippians? That was a great passage. In Philippians chapter 2, where we have the mind of Christ. And then in chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so the first section of Revelation 19, which is an exercise of a chorus in heaven, the mighty choir of heaven, is really exercising praise. Praise because of what God has done. The new songs, I listen sometimes to new songs, and the new songs talk too much about us. Oh, God this, and I'm do this, and help me to do this, and help me to do the other. That's the songs, those easy songs that talks about our a person, a need, our circumstances. There is a place for that. But when we going to sin, our sinning should be praising God for salvation, should be praising God for the victory that we have in Christ, and praising God for the worship that we can have with Him and with the congregation of God, and praising God because He is God omnipotent. He's everywhere. And in spite of America, and in spite of the circumstances, I tell you, we are okay. I expected a lot of emails this morning because I put down America equal to the Roman Empire. No one wrote. No one wrote. And we will see what happens tomorrow. But you need to take serious America. We are almost identical to Roman Empire in the times of the Apostle Paul. So we praise, the chorus praise God in heaven. And now takes place something that is unbelievable. In 19 verses 7 to 10 is the marriage supper with the Lord in heaven. So by this time, the wall is gone. Everything is finished. And we are in the new earth. And the first act, the first thing God does is have the Lord's Supper in heaven. You know, what is that we do the first Sunday of the month? The Lord's Supper. It is a time of communion with God. A time where the whole church will attend and be there because it's a time of respect, saying to God, we are one with you. Now, let's see this Lord's Supper, how it's handled. First, in verse 7, it will focus upon Jesus. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. So focus on Jesus Christ. Let me take a look to Luke Gospel, chapter 9. Luke Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke Gospel, chapter 9. In verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now that is the focus of the Lord's Supper. This is not the moment that we ask Jesus for something on the Lord's Supper. This is the moment where we fellowship with God and we focus on Jesus. All right? And the Catholic Church is correct in making the Mass as the center focus on Jesus. The only trouble is they want to give you Jesus on a piece of bread. That's the only trouble. But we focus on Jesus. Now, it will take place because the bride is ready. If you look in verse 7 and in verse 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. You know the word, we are all in heaven. We are not ready now. We are on the old nature now, in that miserable nature of ours. But one day we're going to be all in heaven. And to her, verse 8, was granted that she should be arranged in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. And so, this marriage supper is the final encounter between the bride, us, the believers, and Christ Jesus in one. And now in a beautiful and a wonderful environment. The bride is ready because Christ is her Savior. If you say, well, I'm ready on my own righteousness, you don't qualify to the wedding. You said, I'm ready because my church authorized me to be a Christian. You will not be in the least Lord's Supper. This Lord's Supper is the bride's qualify because Christ is the Savior. The bride is ready because follow Christ. And we are dead and we are alive with Him. Then the bride is ready because receive Christ's righteousness. You notice in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, it said, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. That vesture that we will have in heaven, whether it is a linen as you know on earth or not, I don't know, but that vesture in white represents the righteousness of God upon our life. Right now we have the righteousness of God. That's why we go to heaven. But no one of us qualify to have that supper with the Lord because we live in the sin nature. But then we will have no sin nature and we will be just like Christ. So it will take place because the bride is ready, and it will take place and it will be a blessed and glorious event. Verse 9 and verse 10. Look at you get to go to the wedding by invitation. Verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, every wedding, you get to go to the wedding by invitation. Is that right? Have you ever tried to get into the wedding? You were not invited. They do in South America. They had to put a guard at the entrance of the party because the people are hungry. So they come to the wedding and they eat with everybody. So they have a guard. You need to have, what is your car? What is your password or whatever to come in? The same in heaven. You and I go to the wedding by invitation. Do you remember when you were invited? No, in heaven. In heaven, you are no longer invitation. If you notice in verse 9, said, and he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called, past tense, unto the marriage supper. You were called in the past. Now, how were you invited? When you were saved. When you were saved, God invited you into His kingdom, and now you're part of Him. Now, you get to go to the wedding to worship Christ. Verse 10, and I fell at His feet to worship Him. That's what we have, the celebration. We're going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be one with Him. And you have no idea now of what will take place. Look at verse 10 again. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and for thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And you need to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You have no idea of what will take place. People try to elaborate. They try to write. How can we, with this finite mind and sinful nature, trying to figure out the glorious event? That's why 1 Corinthians 2:9 said this. But as it is written, I have no seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Isn't that a great text? So when you read that Revelation 1 to 19, first the chorus, verses 1 to 6, and then the great event, a marriage feast with Jesus, we cannot elaborate more than what is written. We have no idea how glorious that will be. You know why? Because our old nature tried to visualize things from earth. But when we were there, we wanted to visualize things from heaven. So whatever happened to you and to me in this earth, whatever happened to us have nothing to do with whatever is going to happen in heaven. It's going to be so glorious, so marvelous when the bride is there. We all equal. No longer yellow, black, Filipino, Argentinians. No longer anything. We all dress in the righteousness of Christ. Will we not great? And then worship Him. And saying to Him, thank you that you invite us to this wedding. I read all kinds of alternatives and things. Listen, that's how the Bible said. We be a wedding, you get by invitation. Have you been invited is the question. Have God touched your heart and believe in the Lord Jesus? If you have and believe in Him, then you got the invitation. Keep it until that day. And if you don't keep it, God keep it for you. and take it to heaven with you. What a God that we have. We have no idea. Sometimes the problems on this earth are so big and majestic that we say, why? Now think a little higher. The day you're going to be with your God and this marvelous wedding. Please don't forget your suit that day. All right? Okay, Lord, thank you. Your word guarantee to us a celebration of a wonderful end. We confess to you, we are humans. We maybe have college degree, but it means nothing to compare to the riches of your word. So, Lord, I'm going to believe just what you said. But what really, really stay with me as I read this passage is that we are invited to the wedding. Lord, I pray for all of us that we are sure we have received the invitation and send a note to God saying, yes, I'll be there. Bless us with the strength. Help us to have this week different than last week. Rather than focusing on ourselves, help us from now to focus on Jesus, his glory, his honor, his majesty. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.